morning, church. How is everyone? Good. I thought today I'd just move back from there, do something a little different. How's your week been? Good, good. It's always really good to come to church. And one of my favorite things about being on stage is looking out there and seeing people's smiles. I love the smiles because I don't actually know what's behind the smile. I don't know whether people are thinking, okay, what's she going to say today? Or are they thinking, it's really good to see that person there? Or are they thinking the exact opposite, I'm so bored, I might as well just smile. Either way, it makes me feel good when I see your smiles. It's one of my favorite things. So we're starting a new two-part series called Fresh. What do you think about when you hear the word fresh? Coffee, okay. And is that because there is a coffee shop? Actually, forget that. Why do you say that? Right, okay. Coffee wakes you up. What about other people? What do you think of when you hear the word fresh? Pardon? Air, fresh air. Okay, someone else? Ocean? Clean out of the shower. Okay, so we all have different ideas of what that means. A few years ago, I had this dream where somebody threw a whole bag of fresh bread at our doorstep, and it was spilling over. And when I came out of that dream, I thought, okay, two things that dream is telling me. One is about provision, that God is our provider. The second one is abundance. He doesn't just provide, he provides abundantly. But I have some very interesting experiences relating to bread. When I was in high school, during recess, we would go and buy, they called it a quarter. It's not half a loaf, but they called it a quarter. And we would have this pickled veggies. You open the middle of this fresh bread and you put these pickles in the middle. And it was absolutely amazing. The smell of the bread, the texture, everything about it was beautiful. And then there was my grandmother's bread. When we'd go there school holidays, she would cook using cast iron with the coals. Has anybody had that? Yes, Jean has. Okay, yes, Ranska has as well. The smell of it was incredible. And then bread has also become my lazy food. When I don't want to cook, when I don't feel like cooking, and I want to eat something, I'll go for the bread. So I've had a very interesting relationship with bread. And lastly, bread is a trigger food for me. If I eat bread, then I start eating everything else around it. So it's a trigger food. But I just wanted to pray before I start about the provision and abundance of God. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you're a good God. We thank you, Father, for the fresh things that you bring into our lives. And I just pray this morning as we hear your word, may we hear the provision. May we hear the abundance. I pray for everyone here that may they come out of this with something special for themselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 16. The title of my message is Fresh Word. So Acts 3, 1 to 16 says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. What a name. Where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the men held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that completely healed him, as you can all see." I want to talk about the daily grind. That's quite a powerful scripture. The daily grind. You know, I didn't know that there's a coffee shop called the Daily Grind, but apparently there is. You know, the daily grind is about the daily routine. It's about the everyday responsibilities that you have, and it's different for each individual. For some of us, the daily grind involves getting up, getting ready to go to school, spending the day in the classroom, going for recess, going back to class, going home, repeat. For some of us, it's getting up, getting ready for work, getting on the train, going to work, get back on the train, get home, repeat. For some of us, it's waking up, including myself, getting the kids organized, getting yourself organized, getting ready for work, responding to some emails, making some phone calls, jumping in the car, being a taxi, right? Cooking meals, picking up kids, on and on it goes, repeat. The daily grind is different for each person. But for this lame man, I was reflecting on what his daily grind was all about. It's 3 p.m. prayer meeting, and he's going and sitting at the front there so he can beg people for money. He would have had to prepare for that. I bet he had goals for the day. I bet he had to strategize. He had to work out, okay, how much am I going to make today? He had to think, how many people do I have to speak to make sure I can cover the bills? We don't know if he had a family. We don't know whether he had to pay the people who took him, give them their share, because they took him there. We don't know. But either way, he had his daily grind. But today, this day that we're looking at in this scripture was different, because he was about to receive a fresh word. He was about to receive a fresh word. I'm guessing that the word that he would have received every other time before then, the responses he would have received from the people who were going into the temple, would have been very interesting. Some of the people would have been saying to him, when he asked for money, "I'll pray for you." Some of them would have been saying, "I pity you." Some of them would have been patronizing and looking down at him. Some of them would have been dismissive of him. And some of them would have been disgusted by him. But on this day, he would receive a fresh word. Going back to verse 6, this is what Peter said. "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." there was a fresh word for the lame man. And that fresh word was for every other lame person out there. I believe that the lame here represented being incapacitated, not being able to function, not being able to do things, having to be dependent on other people. It's been interesting for us as a family experiencing that with Noctula being in a wheelchair. Yeah? It's been interesting to see how it changes the dynamic of the house. Becoming dependent on other people, not having your own freedoms. And for this man, it was since birth. But there was a fresh word for this man. And the word was this: forget what you think you need. Because in that moment, he was thinking, I need money. And he did. But the word was, forget what you need, because God cares about the whole of you. God had other plans for this man beyond giving him just money. Peter said, silver or gold, I don't have. I don't think that Peter had zero, nothing. I think there was something bigger he was trying to put across to this man. The bigger message was, there is something greater for you than what you're asking me for. And so I believe that there is that word for every person who finds themselves in that position, like the lame man. That forget what you think you need, because quite often we all have our own idea of what we think we need. And we go and ask for what we think we need. But God has other plans for us. The second thing was this: there's a blessing in the know. There's a blessing in the know. Peter essentially said to this man, no. He asked for money. The response was no. It was not a direct no, but it was a no. But there was a blessing in that no. And the blessing was that out of that whole experience, the blessing for the man is that he moved from a place of bondage. He was no longer, he used to not be able to walk, he could walk. He moved from that place of bondage. He was set free. He was brought into a space of celebration. He was brought into a space where he could glorify God. That was the blessing in the know. But there was also a fresh word for you in the room. Fresh word for you in the room. And I believe that this word has to do with Peter. And I'd like you to think of yourself like you are Peter. Think about the fact that you have something to give that has nothing to do with your limitations. Peter said, silver or gold, I have none. These are my limitations. I know what you're asking me for. I can't give it to you. I can't meet your expectation. But what I do give, what I do have, I give to you. Matthew 14 to 15 to 17 says this: as evening approached, the disciples came to him, this is Jesus, and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. I just want to leave it there. So we have a situation where people had been listening to Jesus, and then it got late. But the people were hungry. And when they wanted some food, the disciples thought, we don't have any food. We must send these people away. But Jesus said, no. Don't send them away. You give them something to eat. And the disciple says, there's only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring. They brought those to Jesus. He prayed and a miracle was performed where thousands were fed. I think every now and then we get to a place where we think, I have nothing. I have nothing to give. I'd like you to take Lift up your hand. Look at the palm of your hand. Bring it closer to your eyes. What do you see? What do you see? Pastor Charlie. Not that close, Pastor Charlie. What do you see on the palm of your hand? Have you ever looked at your hand? Lines. The letter M. Okay. I've never heard that one before. Okay. Who can give me a number? How many lines are there? Three. Too many. Pardon? Countless. From now on, every time you think about look at your hand, I want you to look at it differently. I want you to look at those lines as if they represent every gift that you possibly carry. Your hand is not empty. He says, you give them something to eat. There's a time that Peter said to Jesus, I love you. I love you. And what did Jesus say? He was told, feed. Feed what? Feed my sheep. Peter was walking into the temple with John, just like everybody else, just like people coming in through the doors of the church. They went in to pray. He stopped. He has been asked, feed my sheep. He stopped and he did that with that man. There are many people who would have passed that man, but Peter stopped and he gave him a word. He gave him a fresh word. Romans 10:14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Essentially, for anyone in our circle to call on the name of Jesus, they have to have been told about him. They have to have heard it from somewhere. There's a word that you carry. That word is stronger than your limitations. It's more powerful than what you think you don't have. In the name of Jesus, the power in that name is beyond our human comprehension. But people are not going to act on the faith. They're not going to believe in one they have not heard from or heard about. So that is our part. That's where we come in as believers. I want to talk about championing dreams. Championing dreams. It says in verse 7, taking him by the right hand, this is Peter, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. You see, Peter didn't just speak a word. He took him by the hand. Sometimes I think as Christians, we've got the right words. We know what to say, but we stop there. But there is more. There's more. And the more is the taking the person by the hand. Championing. You know, to champion, it says, is to vigorously support or defend the cause of. This man had a dream. And I don't believe that his dream was to go and beg every single day. And we know that he has a dream because it says that he praised God. It says that he walked, he jumped, he praised. I don't believe you can praise something that was never really a belief, a dream of yours. I believe he was praising God because for him a miracle had just been performed. He went from begging to jumping to praising. But Peter had a role to play in that. He took him by the hand to support him. And it says that as Peter took him by the hand and supported him, his feet and his ankles became strong. I believe that, like Peter, you are a voice. You are a voice that champions the dreams of those who can't speak for themselves. And you echo their heartbeat. Finally, I want to talk about setting the record straight. Setting the record straight. It says in verse 12, when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" And then he goes on in verse 16 talking about by faith in the name of Jesus. You know, human beings, we have a tendency to elevate other human beings. Even in church circles, right? When we hear of something that happens that is unusual in a church or somewhere, a gathering, we get excited, which is a good thing. We praise God, which is a good thing. But then we take it to another level when we start to focus on man. When we start to focus on what the person can do and we start to elevate them. But in this passage, we hear Peter saying, "I want to set the record straight. You're looking at us as if we did something, as if by our own power or our own godliness, we did something." But then he goes on to give them a history lesson and highlights Jesus Christ. And he's making a link between the man who's now walking and Jesus Christ. And he says, Jesus Christ has been glorified. He's saying this work that you're seeing, this miracle is a sign that Jesus Christ has been glorified. So everything that you'll ever see that looks like freedom, that looks like breakthrough, that looks like people being set free, it's because Jesus Christ is being glorified. And so I challenge you this morning, I ask you this morning, what do you have in your hand? And what would your voice say to the lame that are around you? Quite often, we think we've got nothing. And I believe that that's a tactic of the enemy. We come to church, we hear the word, we go out. We come to church, we hear the word, we go out. Even church becomes not a daily grind, but a weekly grind. But I believe that God wants to do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? That's what the word says. As I get the band up, please. Can we just stand? I don't know what you're carrying this morning. I don't know what your challenges, what your barriers are. I know they're there because we all have them. We all have challenges. We all have barriers. But I do believe that all of us have been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. We've been given authority to call those things that are not as though they are. We are a voice that echoes the heartbeat of those who don't have a voice for themselves. We champion their dreams. We have a fresh word. Every single one of you right now, you've got a fresh word for someone. But in order to give that fresh word, you have to hear the fresh word for yourself. Because you can't give what you don't have. So I just want to give opportunity for prayer around two things. If you want a fresh word, a fresh revelation for yourself around that, just come up for prayer. And then secondly, if there's anything that you feel like you need to be set free from, that could be anything, please come up as well. And we'll have prayer team come and help with that. I just want to say.